So if you're like me and you grew up in the church, you've read and heard talks on Titus 2:5 before, to be working at home, kind. And as a young woman, I thought of somebody dressed like the 1950s who had a smile permanently pasted on their face. I don't know why that came to mind, but that's what came to mind. But as I thought about it, this passage wasn't written in the 1950s or the 2000s. There had been no industrial revolution or stay-at-home versus working moms debate. So why, in a day and age when there were no office jobs, does Paul take the time to say, we are to be working at home? Like, wasn't a woman already doing that? What does that mean? I was asking this question, too, as a single woman who works full-time and travels regularly for work. Being the nerd I am, which I will find out through the course of this talk, I did some digging on the phrase workers at home. It has its origins in guard, beware, and means stayer at home. So a woman is to be the guardian of the home. Why is this important? So in Lord of the Rings, I told y'all I was a nerd, Frodo, Sam, Pippin, and Merry go off to destroy the ring. It's a great quest. But while they are gone, the enemy moves in and enslaves their people. No one was left to protect the Shire. Being a stayer at home means guarding the castle and keeping the kingdom secure. God is saying we as women have been uniquely called to guard and keep it. And I don't think this is just for married women with kids. I think that's important, and that's who Paul is primarily speaking to. But I also think it applies to us as single women too. We guard what we value, and even as a single woman, it's how I'm talking about the family, showing it as valuable, something worth protecting. It can be easy to slip into celebrating a good night's sleep or having no dirty diapers to change when you're single, but this is not good. Children are far more valuable than a good night's sleep. Even if I don't have a family, I can still speak of it as something precious and worth protecting. I don't want the sadness of not having children of my own to let me undermine the value of the family. For me, I live this out by being excited for every new wedding and baby I hear about, watching my little nieces and nephews, and inviting my older ones over for game nights and good discussions. But if our homes are the castle, then it's not just about keeping the enemy out, but also about welcoming people in. Like Helm's Deep was open to all men, women, and children fleeing the Uruk-hai, our homes can be a place for folks to come in to see our faith lived out. One of my goals when folks come over is I want it to feel like a place of rest and welcome. It does help if my toilets are clean. But it's not about a spotless home as much as a place that feels safe and comfortable. I once shocked a neighbor. I was living in an apartment, and she came over and knocked on the door. She was asking questions about the blinds. I'm like, well, just come in and look at them. And you could just see she was like a little bit shocked that somebody was just asking them into their home. But it was just a simple thing of opening my home that stood out. And whether you have a house full of kids or you live alone, this is one thing we can all do. So we are guardians of our homes, but in keeping our homes, it's also about how we treat others within our homes and without it. In Titus 2:5, Paul says women are to be kind. This is where I got hung up, because what does kind even mean? Did it mean I couldn't tell someone their behavior was inappropriate, or I had to say okay to things I wasn't really okay with? I spent time digging into the meaning of the word kind, because I wanted to know. Kind means benefit or good. If we go to 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love is kind. In that passage, kind means to show oneself useful, be kind. Webster's describes kind as a helpful nature or a forbearing nature. The question I began to ask myself is, am I being helpful or useful in this conversation or interaction? Am I being kind? So at work, I regularly get asked by other teams to do things that are not mine or my team's responsibility. If I said yes to these, it would hurt our team and our ability to meet our goals. So no is the right answer. That is what I should be saying. However, my goal in those interactions is to be helpful and useful even as I say no. My answer usually goes something like this: no, we are not the best ones to help with this. Here's why. Here's the team you need to talk to, or here's what I would recommend you do instead. So to be useful and helpful even in the midst of saying no. Or in a recent situation, I had to step on some political toes at work to transfer a set of work from one team to my own team. I knew it was the best decision for the business. I had our leadership support for it. But the manager of the other team doesn't like change and inserted themselves in to try and block the move. And I'll tell you, in the moment, I was frustrated. I was just like, this makes total sense. This would solve your problems, my problems. And I didn't, but it was, in the moment, this verse kept coming over and over to mind: be kind. And I didn't change the course. It was the right thing to do. But I spoke to him with respect. I made sure I addressed all his concerns. When I was in meetings with other leaders, I made sure I was speaking about him respectfully and even his concerns respectfully. So yes, hard conversations had to be had, but I needed to be useful and helpful in those interactions. Even as I share that above example, there were also conversations where I fell short in showing kindness. There's one that even came to mind of like, hey, how I spoke about something could have been better. And as we think about being stayers at home, being kind, I don't know about y'all, but to me it can feel overwhelming. It's really hard in the moment when it's happening to be kind or to see this as valuable. And I'm not enough in those situations to do that in my own strength. And this is where I found Titus 3, 4 through 7 so encouraging. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. He has poured out his Holy Spirit on us. And so we have enemies within our own sin. I have enemies without. But his mercy and grace has been poured out. I'm not enough for this, but he is.